Yeah, okay, so we are already announcing we are going to WWDC in June.
Yeah,
We
well,
have
hopefully.
no tickets yet, we don't have the flight yet, we don't have the I don't have the visa yet. I have to get this
Yeah.
as well. But what we
But
do have,
we're going.
what we're going and what we do have, we already have hotel booked.
Yeah, and lots of enthusiasm. What do you think about the rumors for the next iPhone?
Yeah, the iPhone Pro, iPhone 8, iPhone X, iPhone Edition. Yeah, I want
Well,
it.
hello, I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is the podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read, I want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
So we're circling back to talking about technology stuff.
Yeah.
You might have heard me mention my new headphones a couple of times.
Yeah, this is the situation when you are so repetitive and just boring that in the end to just shut you down, I just bought them as well. So like this way you won't be speaking about them anymore to me.
Tough luck, because that's what we're gonna do today.
Yep. So before this, a bad joke or an anecdote. Have you seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street?
There we go again. Of course, I have seen it.
Of course. So there is this scene. I'm sure I told you about this, but I don't think we'd mention this in the show. So I'll get on with that. So there is this scene when they are buying obscenely. They are buying obscenely, really expensive restaurant food, and their accountant is telling them. I mean, these aperitifs, I mean, or this entrance or whatever they were ordering,
I don't think it was about food.
it was food, and he was asking, "Do they cure? Why are they so expensive? Do they cure cancer or what?" And then he says. And then, of course, because they don't have any answer, because they were just obscenely spending money, they just answer, "Yeah, in fact, they do cure cancer."
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
So I remember the situation when my friend told me about QC, Quiet Comfort, right? Headphones from Bose, and he told me that he bought them on his way from before his trip from Australia back here to Europe, and he told me that they're just amazing, that they just totally isolate the noise and ambient and everything. They're just so good, especially in the plane and especially in a long flight like this from Australia. Look it up, it's really long. So anyway, the thing is that I didn't believe him, but then I started, I tested his headphones. They were the QC 20, so they're with cable and in-ear headphones. And I remember I tried them on and I was like, "Whoa, what is this?" Right? So, I mentioned to my wife that, I actually, it's always hard for me to get a Christmas present. So I said, maybe actually on Christmas, I might want to have these headphones. But they're obscenely expensive. They're 300 euro or something. So they're really expensive. So and before that, I would use, earpods and, 20 euro headphones, not 300 euro headphones. So my wife, knew that it would be a great present for me, so she asked my brother to buy them for me for the I mean, my, to my brother for my brother to do the whole thing so that I wouldn't notice on our bank statement and everything that that she actually bought them for me for she wanted this to be a surprise, and my brother bought them for me if like yeah on like with my wife, and then I got them for Christmas, and then after Christmas my brother asked me, "Man, these headphones are so expensive. Do they cure cancer or what?" And then I said, "Yeah, in fact, they do cure cancer."
Yeah, that's pretty close. I mean, hopefully, in Poland they cost closer to 380 euros. So that's a lot for headphones.
Yeah, but in contrary to the Wolf of Wall Street, I mean, I can really say that. They might not cure cancer, but they I mean, I'm sure about it. They really protect your ears. This is without a doubt.
Yeah. They might have not cured cancer, but they do everything else.
Yeah. So I had the QC20 headphones, so in-ear with wired ones. Mm-hmm. And then you went ahead and bought the QC35 Bluetooth, big on-ear headphones.
Yeah. Over-ear.
Yeah. Over-ear headphones, yeah.
Yeah, I struggle with this for a long time because I have friends who were big fans of these. But mostly treating them as headphones for this particular context of, you know, traveling, being on a plane. Those are like plane headphones, which I don't do that often. So it's just for this price, they would have to cure cancer. But after, you know, over a year of convincing myself that I don't need them, I kind of impulse bought them.
All right. Impulse bought them for 300 something euro, right?
Yeah, 300 actually, from Spanish Amazon. I don't know. They were cheapest there. Anyway, I have to say, they're great. I regret not buying them earlier. I had a lot of doubts about them. I knew they were great and all, but like, do I really need them? But now I'm convinced that, yeah, this was a good purchase. A lot of doubts I had about them turned out to be wrong. They turned out to be better than I expected, to be honest. So, I mean, obviously this is a first world problem and a really expensive toy. But for me, you know, working a lot, sometimes in loud places, listening to a lot of podcasts and books outside when it can be loud, it's just, wow. It's so comfortable, so incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a big fan of my QC20 headphones, the wired ones, but I don't know where I have them now. I put them somewhere. I will find them definitely, but I put them somewhere. But the wired thing was really annoying for me, and especially that I have the iPhone 7 Plus and have no headphone jack. Yeah. I had to use an adapter with that. So adapter with lots of wires, and especially when you travel with kids, it's just like the wires get in the way. And my eight-month-old girl already knows how to catch the wires. She really likes the wires. So really, wireless headphones like were the next step for me anyway. And there are Bose in-ear wireless headphones, but I don't like them. They have this kind of ring or like thing on the neck, which I don't like. So, and because we are 2017 and you don't look weird anymore when you have gigantic headphones on your head and when you walk on the street.
No,
so
no one cares.
I thought, well, let's try to be hip, you know, and I'm just closing in on my 40s and I said, you know, let's be hip now and just have giant headphones while walking on the street. And I love these as well. So after you bought yours, I decided to fight the urge for 2 weeks and then I bought them as well.
Yeah, I have to admit that part of the reason why I was finally pushed to get them is the fact that the lack of the stupid jack port in iPhone 7 is really, really annoying when you have wired headphones, which are not the headphones they give you in a box. But we'll get back to that. I think we should first explain why are they so great.
Yeah, exactly. So so Bose has this patented technology and they defend it like a lot. This is QC, quiet comfort technology. It is like an active way of getting the noise out. So basically, I think what they do is they like generate additional noise so that, you know, it's like canceled out or something, right?
Yeah, essentially, it's called active noise canceling. And it is what it says. It's that they're really quiet, not just because they're well isolated, though they are. But on top of that, both sides essentially have a microphone, which collects the noise from the outside and inverts the sound wave and kind of mixes it in with the sound you have on your headphones. So this way, the noise and the generated anti-noise kind of cancel out and it becomes magically quiet.
Yeah, and this is the, and now this is the moment where the anti-cancer part comes in. So normally normally, if you're in an environment, like a noisy environment, in the airplane, on the street, mm-hmm. Or in a cafeteria, when you want to listen to something, you have to just jank up the volume. You have to just put the volume up, because otherwise you won't be able to hear it. And when you have the Apple AirPods, very well, you can tell it. Like, you really need to put them loud. So when you put them loud, you still barely hear what the AirPods are doing, but you don't realize that you're just putting a lot of pressure on your ears, because like they are receiving lots of noise from the outside and from these AirPods. And what's really magical about the QC line of headphones from Bose is the fact that you don't do it. You just put them, and very often I just put them more quiet, instead of higher volume, just lower volume actually. So you're listening to just a normal volume, like what we're doing right now on the podcast, while being in a crowded place, which is just magical.
Yeah, it is. It improves comfort greatly. Because, as you said, if you have headphones which are not isolating at all, like Apple AirPods or AirPods, then you just have to, you end up destroying your ears, and it's still not comfortable at all to listen. And it's even worse if it's not music, because, if it's music, you can hear the beat and, it's whatever. But if you're trying to listen to a podcast or a book, you kind of need this quiet place, this solitude. And I remember
see what you did there.
Yeah, that's the name of my headphones. I remember when I was trying to listen to a podcast at the gym in my AirPods, and it was just impossible. It's so loud. It became much better when using just, standard isolating headphones. But in these, it's even better. I mean, obviously, those are big. Those are no good if by gym you mean like cardio workouts, because you get all sweaty and stuff. But when I'm at the gym lifting weights, then it's really comfortable wearing these. You don't hear the awful music they pipe in or other people making noises. You can just focus on your workout. So this is great. Or when you are outside on a walk or whatever, in an urban environment where it can be loud, or just, maybe even at home if it's really loud and you're trying to work. It's so good if you can just tune it all down and focus on your stuff.
Or if you work at Facebook, the biggest open office in the world, get these headphones, totally.
It's actually funny you should say that, because the first time I wore the Bose Quiet Comfort headphones was when I visited the Facebook office in London.
You see? That's the place, to be, to have them, right? Really, right there.
Yeah, and it was really impressive, but I don't know if it said more about the headphones or the office.
Exactly. But just today in the morning, I wanted to get some work done in a cafe while having breakfast, and I had an important article to write. Mm-hmm. So I was just I went there, and normally this cafe is very noisy and it's very small, but it's just with these headphones, it just everything just disappeared. I could focus on my work, and I was really productive. It was a really, really nice time.
It's really incredible. But what's worth noting is that this is not magic, okay? This cannot cancel the noise perfectly, if only because some of the noise still creeps in through the cracks, and noise all like sound also propagates through your bones, so like it's not as if you don't hear anything. The whole point is that it really it's really good at lowering the ambient noise. So for example, like if you are walking near a street, it's not going to be loud at all. It's going to be quiet. But when there's like a sharp, like defined sound, like a car passing, you'll hear it. Like if someone looks you in the face and says something, then if you don't have, for example, music too loud, you'll still hear them. But the point is that you don't have this ambient kind of white noise really loud. That's the the kind of base level of noise is really cancelled out to very little. But it's not as if you become deaf to what's happening around you. So some people suggested that, it will be so dangerous to walk around on the street with these. But it's, that's paranoid. You still hear stuff around you. I mean, I don't know, maybe in your country, cars just randomly appear on the sidewalk. But other than that, obviously, you have to be careful when you're crossing the street, as you always do. Other than that, I mean, seriously, it's just not true at all. Those headphones are great in any context in which you just want a quiet space.
No, I mean, this is what I expected in the very beginning when my friend told me about them, that they would just cancel out everything, but they don't. So first time when I listened to them, I was disappointed, actually. Because I thought, I'm still listening to things. I mean, but just do it for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you take them out and you're like, whoa, what did just happen? Because then you see the contrast, the stark contrast of listening to what's around, but it not bothering you at all, mm-hmm. to listening to what's around and bothering you at all, like a lot. And for me, the best test was when I was on the plane to my hometown, and we had to switch to a plane with a propeller, small plane with a propeller. And I was sitting next to the propeller. It was really loud. I just put my headphones and I was like, gone. Thank you very much. It was just magic. So I could still hear the propeller, but it wouldn't annoy me anymore. It was there, just there as like a voice, like noise, but nothing else.
Well, I can't wait to the 10 plus hour flight to San Jose with these headphones, because wow, that's going to make such a big difference.
Yeah, okay, so we're already announcing we are going to WWDC in June.
Yeah, we have, hopefully.
Yeah, we have no tickets yet, we don't have the flight yet, I don't have the visa yet, I have to get this as well. But what we do have...
But we're going.
But we're going, and what we do have, we already have hotel booked.
Yeah, and lots of enthusiasm.
Exactly, lots of enthusiasm. So we're going there. And just a last point about the headphones that I want to make is the fact that the friend, the initial friend who got me into the Quiet Comfort headphones, was the one that when I told him that I'm buying the headphones that you have, Radek, he told me, okay, get them for me as well. So, because he was still using the wired headphones, and he just got them, and you should have seen face on, like, smile on his face when he was picking them up from my house. So he was really happy.
Well, that isn't the last thing I want to say about him, though.
All right.
There's more that. So when I said that they're more than I expected, that's the thing. Like, I really craved this quiet comfort zone. But I didn't expect how much I would like other things. So, for example, the fact that they're wireless, I was kind of skeptical about that. I mean, wireless is nice, but wireless can be flaky. Wireless means you have to charge things. Like, wireless can be really annoying. But I guess I didn't appreciate the small things that it gives me. It's not just the fact that I don't have a wire running between, my head and my pocket, for example. It's also that when I'm at my Mac and I'm, listening music from my Mac, I can walk around my room, or I can walk to the kitchen, or I can walk around the house, and I'm still connected to it. And for example, like if we have a call, right, and I just have to grab something from another room, and I'm on these headphones, I can do that, and I still listen to what people are saying during a meeting or something. So things like that are really cool, and I didn't know how much I would like it. It's still, another thing to charge, which is slightly annoying, but it has like 20 hours on battery, so it still, lasts 2-3 days or more, depending on how much I use it. So that's pretty good. And the thing that I worried the most about the wireless thing is that I would have to, it would be really annoying to like have to unpair and pair again with, like, if I want to switch between devices. This is a problem with many Bluetooth headphones. But these are really special. They have some kind of technology that they can connect to two devices at the same time. So I have mine connected to both my iPhone and my Mac. And the way it works is it just stays connected to both and it just selects kind of the last device you use as the active one. So for example, if I'm on my Mac, I listen to music from my Mac, for example. And then if I pause the music on my Mac and then take out my phone and play music from my phone, then the headphones will switch to piping music from my phone. And then like if I use the controls on the headphones, they will control the phone, right? So it's really seamless, surprisingly so, considering how broken wireless things and you know, just the seamlessness of wireless things can be really lacking. And here it works actually really well.
Yeah, so for me, there was no problem with being wireless. Actually, I was getting fed up with the QC20s because they were wired. And because I do lots of sports, I have like lots of cheap Bluetooth headphones that I use for sports. And they're pretty good, actually. And I really like the fact that they are wireless. So really, there is no cable there and I can move. I can move around, run, you know, cycle and everything. So I was already used to having wireless. That's why it wasn't a big issue for me not to have the jack, you know, the mini jack on the iPhone 7 Plus. The only option was the QC20s, which still require the cable. So that's why for me wireless was not a thing. But as you said, the problem with connecting to various devices, and especially that I got my wife different headphones. I got my wife the Beats Solo 3 wireless headphones and for Christmas, and she loves them because they have this W1 chip. So it connects to through iCloud to all of the devices that she has, her iPad, her Mac, and her iPhone. She can, you know, switch between them effortlessly and really use them all the time, and she loves it so much. And especially that she's still breastfeeding our girl, so again, no cables, so there is no awkwardness there or anything. She can have the iPad somewhere there and just put the music on, or you know, listen to podcasts or whatever, and still have the headphones on and have the baby in her hands, no problem at all, like no tangling with cables and everything like that. So I was actually inclined to get the Beats and not the Bose. But then when you told me about the fact that the Bose could connect to two devices at once, I was sold, because I have mine connected to my iPad Pro and my iPhone. And as I said, it just stays persistently connected to both of these devices. So I can play things from any of them. So I don't need the W1 chip that Apple has in this point. I just use these two devices and it works really well. And this way there's no friction there, because pairing and pairing between devices, you know, it's really painful. So yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that I have to mention is they're really comfortable, just physically, apart from...
They're pretty light too.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So you mentioned Beats Solo 3, and they're really cool because they have the W1 chip. But that's where the advantages end for me, because they're not around... They don't go around your ears, they go over your ears. And right. So, like, they don't provide you with enough isolation from sound, and they just press on your ears, and it's really uncomfortable to wear them for a long time. They're fine if you wear them for, you know, short bursts, but these, like, you can really wear them all day long. Not that you'd want to, but they're really that comfortable. You know, before I had, you know, another big headphones I had were the Sony 7506, and they're really comfortable too, but after, you know, wearing them for many hours at a time, they would just feel like they just want to press your skull until it explodes, and these don't. They're very stable on the head, they don't move, but at the same time, they don't squeeze and press your head. And also a little thing that I really love is that they have the controls for sound and playback on the ear cup, which is really useful for me, especially during the winter, right? Because if I had like you know, just normal in-ear headphones, and they would have a clicker on the cable, and then the clicker would be underneath my scarf, right? Or even if it wasn't, I'm like in thick gloves, and it's like difficult to reach it. And this way, it's much easier to just control. For example, you know, stop an audiobook if you need it. Like it's just a little thing that's very useful for me.
Yeah, I really like the remote control of these. And what happened was that I also today, because I was going to work in a cafeteria, I rediscovered that I have a nice bag, a messenger bag that I can, you know, a small one that fits exactly my iPad, my additional notebook, and my new Bose headphones. So I have them all in this nice messenger bag. So perfect for, you know, working remotely. So perfect.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I think you had some thoughts on your iPad workflow.
Yeah. So I don't know if I mentioned that, but I wrote on my blog at some time that I got the big iPad Pro. And I have I had the big iPad Pro, and then I got the small iPad Pro for testing, like, you know, perfect excuse. You know, I need it for testing. You know, what can I do? Mm-hmm. So I bought them. I bought the baby iPad Pro, so the 10-inch iPad Pro last summer for testing, and I realized that I missed the 10-inch size of the iPad. And in the end, I made it my main iPad, so I enjoy it a lot, and I use it, the pencil, the smart keyboard, like all of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to give up the big one. I didn't want to sell it because I would lose lots of money on the, you know, reselling price. And I still thought I might, you know, find it useful at some point, you know, for something. So what happened was that I kept the 12-inch iPad Pro. It's on my desk right next to me here. And I use it for note taking. So when, for example, when we have meetings and I'm in front of my iMac, I use the iPad Pro. Or if I want to access some things and some apps on the iPad Pro, so exactly the same ones that I have on the baby iPad Pro, I also use the desk iPad Pro. So the 13-inch iPad Pro is right now my desktop iPad.
That sounds a bit overkill.
It is, but again, you know.
Oh, you need it for testing. That's fine.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. I need for testing. But the problem that I face now, is that the fact that this iPad Pro is a 128 gigabyte iPad Pro, so the 13-inch. So it's a like fully blown iPad Pro. I don't use it that much, so it's almost empty. But the baby iPad Pro that I bought for testing, I bought only the entry-level 32 gigabytes.
Oh.
And it's constantly full. And it's my main iPad. So I'm struggling now, but there are some rumors that there will be new iPads coming this spring. So if there is the supposedly 10.5-inch iPad Pro with like a higher resolution screen stuff, then I'm going to get that one and I'm going to sell the baby iPad Pro that I have now. Because what I really discovered is that the 10-inch size is just perfect. This is the size for an iPad. You know, the 13-inch is good for a laptop, 15-inch for a laptop, but 10-inch for the iPad. Bigger than that, it just feels awkward. It just feels, you know, big, and that's why I'm keeping the 10-inch size. So if they announce a 10-inch higher resolution iPad Pro, I'm definitely getting it. With the smart keyboard and with the pencil, it's really joy for me to use. I mean, really, I rediscovered my iPad Pro iPad onlyness again with this one, and I really like it. I really like working on this iPad Pro. So yeah.
Well, I'm really hoping they do announce new iPads in March or April, because my iPad, though I don't need it as much as you do, or say you do. It's still kind of annoying to use a over 3 year old device. It's just, you know, unlike the unlike the Intel chips for desktop computers, the iPhones got so much faster since 2013 that it's really becoming slightly painful to use it. As iOS gets more advanced and needs more resources it gets slower, and also it gets comparatively slower. So it gets a bit annoying to use. And like the rumor I'm really hoping will turn out to be true is that they will make a iPad with the Pro features, like the pencil support, in the mini size, because the 8-inch size is obviously the correct size for the iPad. It's just perfect. So to me, like the whole rumor with the 10.5-inch iPad is really interesting, because to me, this is the admission that the iPad mini is right. Because what it will, the idea is that you have the screen resolution
of two minis.
Well, no, it's not about the minis. It's that you'll have the amount of screen space as on the 12-inch iPad Pro, but with the screen density of an iPad mini. So
exactly.
To me, what it says is that the original iPad is just too big. Like you don't have to have all those buttons so big. They can be smaller. They can be the same density as on iPhone, and it's still all easy to tap and all good. Because to me, like the 8-inch iPad is just perfect, right? And so to me, the 10-inch should be the Pro that has, you know, lots of screen space. But the current 10-inch is just, you know, to me, it's just bigger, you know, but it has the same stuff. So why shouldn't I get the 8-inch?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have the same experience now that I switch between these two iPads, that I would love to have the screen estate of the 13-inch iPad Pro and the size of a 10-inch. So
yeah, exactly.
So for me, like that's why the new iPad that is supposedly coming will be just the bullseye. It will be just perfectly sized. My wife is on the same boat as you. She also believes in the iPad Mini, and she has even an older one than you have. So she's really waiting for the new iPad Mini. She's really hoping that we'll get a new one this spring. So we will have a few iPads to sell, actually. Speaking of pairing and pencil support, which you mentioned, so Apple Pencil should be redesigned again, or upgraded to the W1 processor. Because, for example, I have the same iCloud account on both of the iPads, but each time I want to use the same pencil on any of these, I have to pair it again. So it's not long. You just have to, you know, put it in the iPad and just pair and just click and whatever. But I cannot just use it, you know. So I have to pair it with each of the iPads, you know, whenever I'm, you know, using it with it. So I would have to, you know, do what Apple would want me to do: buy two pencils, right? Like, no, thank you. One pencil is enough. So, but yeah, well, it's annoying.
You do know, Michael, that your problem is that you have too many iPads, right?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's Apple's problem. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's Apple's problem, not mine. Well, anyway, that's the thing. So I still use one pencil. I have two iPads, and I have to pair with them each time I want to use. So it's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the rumors for the next iPhone?
Yeah, the iPhone Pro, iPhone 8, iPhone X, iPhone Edition.
Yeah,
I want it.
Well, you don't have to state the obvious.
Exactly. So apart from that, there are many rumors. The one I can tell you the one I like. Mm-hmm. The one I like would be to have a kind of the same screen size that I have on my iPhone now. So like really big screen size, but in a smaller package. So I don't want them to make the iPhone 7 Plus size and put a bigger screen there. Like I have enough screen now. Like I'm just... Like with the, it started with iPhone 6 Plus and then 6S Plus and then 7 Plus. They're just too big. I was always hoping that they would finally, you know, make the enclosure smaller while keeping the screen as big or almost as big. So for me, this is my favorite rumor. The fact that I would have basically a more or less iPhone 7 sized iPhone with a plus size screen. So this would be an ideal again.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear that it's doable. I mean, pretty much all high-end Android devices have a much greater kind of screen-to-body ratio. The iPhone has a lot of dead space, especially like at the top and the bottom, which is, you know, for me, that's fine. I'm not an iPhone Plus guy, but it's clear that you could get something which is not much bigger physically than the iPhone 7 currently with the screen size of iPhone 7 Plus if you just got rid of all the dead space and just made everything essentially a screen.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping for that one. I mean, like these two devices, so the iPad Pro that we mentioned, the 10.5 inch or whatever it's going to be, and this new iPhone are things that I really, like, I would really want to have. Again, for the screen size and for the package, because I just like, you know, while I love my plus size iPhone, because I can do so much in it with it, and it's so useful, I really would love to have a smaller size.
Yeah, I think it's going to be challenging from the design space and software, because if you have everything essentially edge to edge, then you have the challenge of it just becomes too easy to tap things which are, you know, accidentally tap things which are along the edges. So it might be interesting to see them kind of evolve the UI kind of paradigm of iOS to kind of take advantage of the screen and make it useful, but at the same time ensure that there's essentially like a dead zone in terms of interaction around the edges so that it doesn't become more annoying than useful.
Yeah, it's like with the iPad Pro apps for drawing with the Apple Pencil. Some of them have really good palm rejection and some don't. And it's really annoying when you're using the ones that don't, because like you want to just make it natural. You just want to, you know, really draw on this. And then suddenly you see additional stuff being drawn on the screen, which you never wanted. So just recently I switched to Notability app on my iPad Pro, and this one has really good palm rejection. So over there, I'm just really totally comfortable drawing things you know, taking notes. So this is again the play of the hardware and software, just to make sure that you don't, you know, that it that the thing behaves as you expect it to behave, you know.
Yeah. Another one that I'm very excited about is the wireless charging.
Oh yeah.
So this is kind of already out there. You can see a bunch of Android phones which you can just essentially like place on the pad and it charges. To me, this is going to be big. It's already exists out there, but I think it's going to be very, very important because we have too many damn things to charge and it's not going to get better. Battery technology is not just going to get better. It evolves at a slow rate and there's no promising kind of revolutionary innovation in battery technology on the horizon. There just isn't. And, you know, everything gets more power efficient. You have the Apple W1 chip, which makes, you know, something as tiny as AirPods even plausible. You know, the 5 hours, it's not a lot, but still. So to me, if it's not possible to make devices last a lot longer, I should hope that devices like iPhone or the MacBook Pro are going to, you know, last longer on battery life, but only like incrementally so. Like let's be honest here. So what this suggests to me is that if it's not possible to have less devices to charge or have to charge them less often, it needs to become easier to charge them.
Effortless. Like you just put it there and it just, you don't like, because still, you know, putting it there and putting the cable in, like, or for example in the evening or whatever, like it's a conscious decision. But when you just put the iPhone right there, just, you know, on the desk or on the pad, like it's not a conscious decision. You just put it there. It's really effortless. So people say, oh, it's not a big deal. It is. I totally agree, and I would want that also to work, so that I would just, you know, put the iPhone there. Like, how many times like I picked up my wife's iPad or iPhone and was just totally out of battery. Like, because like if she would have a pad next to like her bed or whatever, somewhere in the, you know, in the household, where we would like, she would just put it there, not caring about, you know, charging it. And especially that she right now has the wireless headphones, like it would charge automatically, you know. It would change so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going with this. I mean, imagine you had these charging pads, not like a charging dock for your iPhone where you have to put it and it's essentially the same as if there was a cable there. I mean, to me, that makes no sense, because the benefit is essentially none.
Yeah.
But if you have like a pad that you can have, you know, on some piece of furniture, one you could have possibly in like multiple places in your home, kind of looking at this like in the future, then you could have these places where you can just place stuff. You know, you can just throw your phone there or your headphones or your watch, whatever, and it just charges like automatically, right? Then it just, you don't have to think about it. It doesn't become a conscious choice. It stops becoming something you have to consciously manage. It just becomes the place where you put things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And what I like also about the headphones, my wife's headphones, the Beats Solo 3 wireless, is that they have this option that when they are totally dead, mm-hmm. you have to charge them for 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes, and they last like 2 or 3 hours. So this is like the best feature ever for me, because my wife would always dive the battery down to zero. So she would tell me, Michael, again, I want to go out and my, you know, headphones or whatever are not charged. And now she knows that if they are not charged, no problem. She just puts them to charge. She can like prepare, do makeup or whatever, or dress. And then she knows in 5 minutes, she's going to just take it and it's going to be fine. So the quicker we can charge, the better. But as we said, the more effortless it would be, it would just, you know, there would be no, you know, even, you know, thinking about it.
Yeah, this is another thing that Apple has to catch up with Android, actually. A lot of high-end Android phones had for a while this whole quick charging thing where, you know, you have chargers that can supply a lot of current, and so they can charge really quickly, which iPhone does not. I mean, it charges quickly if you use like an iPad charger instead of the iPhone charger, but there's still much greater limitations to its charging speed compared to the top Android devices. So I guess those are like two sides of the same coin, as in you could have these wireless charging pads for charging effortlessly, but then if you do use a cable, you should be able to charge really quickly, right? So then like you have to plug it in, but if you do have to do it, it should take, you know, half the, it, you know, you should be able to charge your phone in less than an hour, which is currently not the case.
I mean, this is what I have already. So the iPad Pro, for example, the big one, can charge using the MacBook One charger, so the 29 mm-hmm. watt charger, and then it charges, I think, you know, at least twice as fast than usually. And the Apple Watch actually charges pretty fast. So
yeah.
I that's why I wear my Apple Watch almost all the time, because I just put it on charger when I just, you know, wash my hands or, you know, do something, or just go for a shower, or like when we watch a movie or a TV series, one episode, I just put it on the charger, I take it back, it's already charged. So
yeah,
that's why, for example, I have no problem, you know, with my Apple Watch, because it's always charged, because this is so effortless and so easy and so quick. So yeah, as you said, both of the things, like make it effortless and make it quick.
Right, because, you know, right now there's just too many of these things. And I know this is a first world problem, but I have my Mac to charge and my iPad to charge, my phone, my watch, my stupid headphones, which are actually incredible, my keyboard and mouse and trackpad, and there's the old Mac, which I still haven't sold. It becomes annoying at this number of devices, because you just have to consciously manage it, right? And then like I have just one kind of charger for the Lightning, so I have to remember, like, if I plug in the iPhone, I have to remember to then plug in the iPad so that it doesn't run out. I mean, the only device in my life which lasts for such a long time is my Kindle, which so far in the many months I've had it, I had to charge twice. And I use it every day.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So speaking of charging and battery life and everything else, I saw some tweets or some mentions somewhere of you like liking the battery life of your MacBook Pro more. Like, is that really the case?
Yeah, it is. So I guess I should do a quick update on my MacBook Pro for the review I've done some time ago. The few things I've complained about, I feel better about them. So for example, like you mentioned, the battery life, it's fine. I mean, whatever issues they might have been fixed in software. There definitely were some issues at the start, and they just fixed it. Like sometimes there were some issues with the Mac switching to the dedicated GPU when it didn't have to, and that was a problem. And there were some other like issues with drivers for charging with some people. That's been fixed. So, you know, I still stand by what I said, that I wish it was the stupid millimeter thicker and the battery life was longer than the, you know, supposed 8 hours. Or actually, they say it's 10 hours. That's still not true. It's more like 8 hours on light usage, which is the same as the old MacBook Pro. So I stand by what I said in that I wish it was longer, but I have not found it to be worse. And that's a good thing.
That's good.
Right. Yeah, that's good. As for USB-C, I still think it's fine. Like I said, you just got to accept that it's a fact of life. You need adapters for now. But I'm still excited about this. I still think it's such a nice progress in terms of, you know, I/O technology. It's so much better than the old USB. So I'm still liking it. I had some minor reservations about the keyboard. I got used to it. I got used to the stupid arrows layout. I don't have a problem with it anymore. I also, like, on the first few days I had it, I noticed like slight potential issues with the touch rejection on the trackpad because it's so big that you end up touching it as you type on the keyboard. I had zero issues with it, so that's good. As for the touch bar, I still don't care about it. You said, oh, it's so great, blah, blah, blah. No, I see close to zero utility for this, for me. Maybe for noobs, it will be useful because it does kind of show you things which are more hidden. But for me, there's just essentially zero utility to it. Not completely zero, but very, very little, which I think is a shame. But I also don't hate it. You know, it is less than ideal that I can't, you know, for example, just, you know, naturally tap at the right place to change the volume. I have to do it more consciously because it's a slider and not a physical button. But I don't hate it. I don't have much of a problem with it. It's just meh. You know, that's what touch bar is to me. It's meh.
All right. My favorite usage of touch bar is like when I tried it on the Apple Store. Was that when you have Safari open several, you know, tabs, it's a very nice way to switch between tabs. Like you just scroll your finger and it just switches between tabs very quickly. So I really liked it.
Yeah, that was also one of the things that I found really cool when playing with it. But in practical use, I just have not found myself using it much.
All right.
Maybe it's just my problem, the fact that I naturally just use the keyboard shortcut to navigate between tabs, or the fact that I don't tend to have many tabs open. But I have not found it very, very useful, to be honest.
Okay, I have another update on my iPhone 7 Plus, just to wrap it up.
All right.
So I got the jet black version. I freaking love it. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful. It's stunning. After like several months of using it, I still believe it's freaking stunning. It's just amazing. And I'm using it like totally naked, no cover, nothing. I touch it every day and it's a joy to use. Mm-hmm. But it is scratched a lot. It is. Like, there is no way around it. I can stomach it. This is just a device I use to get things done. So I'm not attached to my iPhone in the way that it has to be in pristine condition or whatever. It's mm-hmm. just my tool. But because this jet black color, and I had to wait for it longer, as you remember, like all my, like everybody in our company already had their new iPhones, and I had to wait for my jet black finish. But it was worth the wait. So it's going to be scratched after a year of usage when I switch to the iPhone, you know, edition or whatever they're going to announce. But it's been worth it because it's just like the finished jet black. I mean, it's a, you know, if it wasn't that scratch, you know, prone, it would be just perfect. But even with that, normally you don't see the scratches so much also, mm-hmm. but only when you just put them in light, then you see them. But it's a freaking joy to use. I love it.
So you're saying the micro abrasions have turned to macro abrasions?
Yeah, there are macro abrasions right now on this screen. But again, I don't mind. I just, it's like just the feel of the phone is just really good.